Hey everybody, I just want to start off this show. Josh is here as well, but we want to send our thoughts and our prayers and everything to everyone in France. Of course, everybody knows what happened this past weekend with the deadly terrorist attacks that happened in Paris. Josh, I don't know. I'll let you kind of say a couple words here, but it's been very hard to see everything on the news and seeing all the terrible things coming out of there. And I just want everyone in France to know, you know, Ravens Nation worldwide, there's Raven fans everywhere, but this is an entirely global issue for everyone involved, and our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone in France.
Yeah, thanks, Brandon, and definitely wanted to say my prayers and condolences on all to the families and victims out there. I know it doesn't bring anybody back, but you know, putting our best foot forward as a global issue and as a nation, you know, we're all as one and we stand as one. You know, we both share the colors white, white, and blue. You know, no matter the way the flag stands, and you know, our thoughts and prayers are out there for you all, and definitely not forgotten. And it happened to us 15 years ago, and we understand, but we're here for you, and we're fighting the same fights, and we're going to stand alongside. And for that, moment of silence out there to the situation, all the victims and families.
Said nevermore.
You're listening to the Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation worldwide. How is it going, everybody out there? Everybody feeling okay? Everybody a little shaky at the knees, not really knowing what this experience is like before? How's it going, everybody? Welcome to The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast.
Overcast. The weather around here lately.
That's right. Joining me as always, he's my buddy. He's going through a hard time right now, just like all of us. He's a little confused. Just like we all are, except, you know, it's crazy. Josh, what's going on, man?
Brandon, I'm great, man. And those words are exact: confused, frustrated, angry. But here's the thing, and I don't know if you knew this going into today, but I got breaking news on the home front here for the Ravens, and we'll get right to the frustration, confusion. What I'm confused about is, Brandon, why ownership or action in the NFL, and it's sanity. It's the broken record. It's we screwed up, but nothing's going to be done about it. It's like, it's getting on my nerves. Do you have any clue what they ruled the Ravens game? Did you hear the ruling on that?
I heard the NFL, they came out and said that final play that the Jaguars were able to get off should have been penalized because not all of their players were set, but the refs let it go and the Jaguars were able to get that field goal.
Right. The refs let it go.
Yeah.
And I'm getting sick of this. I don't know what to do. Like, and people are like, and I know, like, past games is always like, the refs screw this ball. This year, I've been getting into it, and here's the full story. For those that don't know, it came out, NFL spokesperson Michael Signoro, this is his exact words, and this is him quoting. The correct call in this case, and Brandon, you got it right on, you basically summarized what he said. He said, in this case, it would have been to penalize the offense for a false start because all of 11 players were not set, which I saw firsthand live, that I'm like, hello? So, and the whistle to stop the play, ensuing a 10-second runoff would have ended the game. In summary, the Jags would not have gotten said on the final play should have been a false start. Second center runoff. Game ended. Ravens winning 20-19. That's what I'm like. It's countless times. And again, it cost us a game. It cost us a win. And I'm not going to sound off by our own team, but apparently, if for all those who are watching other football games around the country, especially the Giants-Patriots game, which was utterly important, the Patriots squeaked it out yet again. They're undefeated still. Odell Beckham caught a touchdown, which, and it, again, besides the point, it had fantasy implications for me because he was my guy. But it was a touchdown catch, ruled incomplete because it wasn't a catch. It looked like the Lee Evans catch comparable to the Patriots game a few years back for us. So it's not only our game, Brandon. Like, I'm like one hair away just going to my Ravens game, coming home, and I'm not, apart from being involved in fantasy football, I'm not watching any games because it's just, it's the same thing, and I'm getting sick of it.
This, I don't know what the NFL should do from now on. The refs, though, are definitely affecting the outcome of the game. And
very much.
For the NFL to come out and make rule changes every year, you know, remember Justin Tucker showed up and he kicked a field goal and it went over, you know, one of the pylons or whatever, and they increased the height of those things. All right, we're going to change that rule. The Tuck rule. We're going to change that rule. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Bada, 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 bada. If the refs get a call wrong, should they be fined? Should they be penalized in some way? What do you do to correct this?
Because 100%. Well, what if players screw up? Every time they get a hit or do this or do that, they're getting fined. They're getting suspended, but the refs aren't. And someone needs to be held accountable. The refs hold too much power. They're employed by the NFL. They're constantly screwing up, and no one's getting. But the players get flagged for screwing up. The players get flagged for, you know, violating the uniform policy and doing this and doing that and getting fined for hits and getting fined for saying things on Twitter. But the refs don't get held accountable, and I'm over it. Like I don't know what else to say. I'm fired up. I'm more fired up at that than Ravens. I don't care if the Ravens lose the rest of the season. It would not make me mad. It would make me even more mad if the NFL doesn't do anything about this. It's just ridiculous, dude. I'm sick of it. It's demeaning to the sport. Look, and we're causing me to get fired up over it. You know, I'm upset over nothing. I mean, yeah, you can't go back and change it. It is what it is. But being fans and we pay money to see it and all that, and it's costing our team a hard-earned win. You know, yeah, it might not get us in the playoffs. We probably, you know, weren't going to go on an 8-0 run or a 7-0 run after that. But you got to start somewhere. And when we're already looking for a third win this late in the season, and the refs get involved too many times, I'm over it. I can't really say much about it. I'm over it, dude.
And it is sad, the fact that we're going to open up the show today and talk about the refereeing, because
which I don't want to do.
Yeah, exactly. Because both teams were terrible yesterday, and we should be able to focus on what really was the fact of what hurt this team in the long run. What did Joe Flacco do wrong that he could have done better? And instead, we're talking about how the game was decided due to what the refs did.
Exactly.
And that sucks that we got to talk about that, because obviously somebody isn't paying attention. Think about it. What was it a couple weeks ago, you know, with the ineligible receiver, you know, fine. That was the guy wasn't paying attention. What are these guys focusing on that they should be focused on the game?
I don't know.
It's bad. Boy. It's bad officiating. It's bad. Everything about it is just bad, and they really need to figure this out if we're going to go any farther in this league, because it's not just the Ravens, it is league wide, and it royally sucks. It's terrible that the refs are affecting the games in such a big way. I understand like one or two calls and like, oh, you know, that should have been a penalty, whatever, but it's happening so consistently. You got to wonder,
it's happening so frequently, man.
Is the NFL turning into the WWE? Is this all scripted at this point?
It might as well be. You might as well call it National Football Entertainment and NFE and take the league out of it and pretty much just, oh, let's see, because it's, you're right. I don't know if anybody watched wrestling. It seems like we always bring up wrestling on our podcast, but if you look at it, it's more or less, I don't know, you know, obviously me and you are wrestling enthusiasts, but it's like with the whole Seth Rollins thing, like every time he gets the belt, it's all fixed. Like, oh, he weasels away with the belt again, or oh, he gets away with it. You're right. It's scripted, and it's got to stop.
Yeah,
so it feels like it's scripted.
It does. It feels as if the NFL does have an agenda and they want specific teams to win specific games, and it's starting to feel as if it's all coming down to who has the best drama and what's going to happen next. But
right.
You know, we'll see what happens with the officiating down the road. Hopefully the NFL can fix this. But let's talk about this game as a whole for the Ravens. Ugly, ugly game. My Lord, this is probably the worst game the Ravens have played this entire season as a whole. Because, like, some games, oh, the offense did well. The other games, oh, the defense did well. This one, it looked like Joe Flacco, a couple other headliners, and then it just looked like a bunch of high school kids playing out there that didn't know what they were doing.
No, it was bad. I mean, you got Jimmy Smith trying to cover. You got to turn around, buddy. I mean, I sat there, and it was right in front of me at the stadium, and I'm like, he's going to get flagged, and sure enough, there comes a flag, and I wasn't, no one was surprised sitting around me. I'm like, turn around, and again, it seems like a frequent thing, and me and my dad always talk about it when we're watching. We watched the Patriots-Giants game last night. What I tell my dad every time they showed a close-up or a replay of a Giants receiver going up for a ball, there's a Patriot defender turning around. And guys, and you probably listen to the podcast enough to know why you keep referencing Patriots. There's a reason why, and it's not because they're cheating and they're undefeated. It's because they're coached. There's got to be – and people brought up a notion that Ed Reed should be a secondary coach because it's coaching. It's not Harbaugh coaching secondary. It's whoever's coaching our secondaries. Yeah, Jimmy Smith's got enough talent in the world, Brandon. He should be able to cover that, but it's coaching. It's technique. The Patriots corners are taught that hey, when you play a receiver, you turn around and look for that ball, and more often than not, that's what happened. Well, no, Jimmy Smith basically puts both his hands in the air like he's surrendering to an arrest, and there's a flag. Like, it's just ridiculous. That's not how you cover in the NFL. I don't care. I don't care how much you get paid. I don't care how long or little you played or how little you know of the game. That's not how you cover a receiver in the NFL, let alone football. So it's bad play all around. I mean, and remember we talked about last week about Harbaugh was doing the Isle of Story and the ball finding energy?
Right.
Wasn't that crazy how Webb got a pick like that? It was like, okay, and then – but here's what happened. The energy got thrown somewhere else other than the game because the last two plays, Kendrick Lewis couldn't even catch the ball.
I definitely wanted to bring up Kendrick Lewis because, all right, so the last play for the Ravens was Elvis Dumervil. You know, he got that face mask penalty. He kind of cost the team.
No, he didn't. The rest did. So yeah, cost us nothing.
That's what I want to bring up. A lot of people are pointing their finger at Elvis Dumervil for that stupid penalty. And yes, it was a stupid penalty. And yes, he's been around this league long enough to know better to not do something right. Like that. But if Kendrick Lewis would have caught that ball a play or two beforehand, the game would have been over. If Kamar Aiken was able to make a catch, it would have been over. If Joe Flacco didn't throw two interceptions, it would have made a difference.
Or muffed the punt.
Right.
But here's another thing, Brandon. You're right. You have valid points, but you go back to Hiss, and I said this right as soon as the game ended. I'm not talking making a 2-point conversion so hey, they at least tie the game with a field goal and win it. We had the ball. They had no timeouts. How do you not get a first down in the NFL? You have Justin Forsett. We're having the running game. Obviously, our passing offense sucked all day. Why not run the ball and try to get a first down? We didn't. It's like the Ravens didn't even try to get a first down there. It was like, first down, Brandon, the game's over. That play doesn't happen. Kendrick Lewis's two interception drops don't happen. Elvis Dumervil's dumb penalty doesn't happen. And we're not talking the ref screwed it up again. That doesn't happen. It's execution. The Ravens didn't execute. They didn't make plays. And that's why they lost the game. They didn't lose the game because of the refs. Yeah, they ultimately did. But it shouldn't even gotten that far. The Ravens didn't close. They didn't close like they usually do. They didn't step on their necks. They didn't draw blood. They didn't do anything. They were like, okay, well, our offense, well, let's give them a minute six and let our defense out in the field. Let's see what we can do and make a stop. No. This isn't the 2000 Ravens defense. This is the 2015 Ravens defense where we're like, if they're on the field, we're going to lose. That's the reality of the situation. That's why they lost the game. I'm not putting the blame on anything but that. They got to execute.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of the blame, especially with that last offensive couple plays, not being able to get a first down, that's on Mark Trestman. That's making the wrong calls. That is 100% on him.
He should not be the coordinator after this year, bro.
No, they need to let him go. The defense...
Bring Cameron back.
Oh, God.
That's how bad... Yeah, I know he's going to draw a laugh from you. That's how bad it's gotten.
You know what? There's a guy in Detroit that might
Matt,
be free after
Matt
his.
When you need him.
Yeah, there's a coach in Detroit that might be free after this season, so maybe we can bring him back. But
hey, Jim Caldwell. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but look, this team. I'm not a football player, and I'm not trying to tell these guys how to do their job. I am just a fan with a microphone here. But look, this team looked lethargic out there. They looked
bad.
They looked like they didn't want to be there. This is an uninspired team. This is a team that lacks motivation. They don't want to be there. They don't want to be playing on that field. As much as we want to be there and cheer them on and everything, how am I as a fan supposed to be like, hey, go Ravens, if you don't even want to play the game? It was very evident that there's nothing there for them. They have nothing to fight for now.
They don't. And people are joking. It's like, hey, does Ray Lewis have to come and pep up the team with a speech every game? Because apparently that worked. But it's just really weird how we look at the games and it's just the way they go on again. And yet another one possession, we lost by two. Again, I told him, I said, can we go the rest of the games with losing by less than 8 points or less? Maybe that'll be unprecedented. I don't know if that's ever happened. But and here's the thing, Brandon, I want to bring up. Because around the NFL, there's been some crazy plays. And I want to talk about this because there's a high honor this week celebrating the NFL. But there's a reason why I want to bring this up. Number one, we have to honor it because its NFL record did get broken. For all that don't know, Peyton Manning had 3 yards to go to tie, 4 yards to break. He did get the record this week. Peyton Manning passed Brett Favre for the most pass yards all time in NFL history. But here's what and you're right. And going back to the game before I get that far, we're going to talk about Flacco's play because you're right. Flacco had two, you know, underthrown balls. If he'd have led them, Aiken catches a touchdown and game's over.
Two interceptions and a fumble.
And the fumble was uncalled for. You got to protect the football. He doesn't feel pressure, and that's one of his weaknesses. But the reason why is, here's the thing. I know the Flacco haters were out this week, and I'm ignoring them because they're a waste of air. But they shouldn't even be talking. But here's the thing. Peyton Manning's line, zero passer rating. He gets benched. He had five – and I'm going to bring this up. For the first time since 1986, the year I was born, by the way, has a quarterback thrown for five or fewer completions and four-plus interceptions. Warren Moon did it with the Oilers in 86. Peyton Manning did it this weekend in 2015. Bittersweet for him because he gets the record, but he got benched, and Kubiak came out this week and already said Brock Osweiler starting this week. So as bad as the Ravens are and all that, I don't want to hear Flacco haters because, hey, Peyton Manning just got benched, and we don't have Johnny Manziel, and we don't have any other of the quarterbacks out there, so have at it. So I just feel bad for him as we have seen the end of an era for the Peyton Manning era is concerned. So I just wanted to bring that up as a high honor. I mean, we saw an NFL record broke this week, but as bad as Flacco did play on Sunday, he didn't get benched. He didn't get yanked for Matt Schaub. He didn't get his job threatened. It happens. People have bad games, but you're right. It's got to start playing better at the quarterback position. You have to learn to read the assignments. You can't underthrow balls. It wasn't windy on Sunday. Yeah. It was a nice, sunny, 60-degree day in Baltimore in November. There's only the underthrown balls are uncalled for.
Yeah, they're I don't think Joe has a lot of confidence in his wide receivers. I think that was pretty evident given the fact that he stuck with the tight ends for most of the game. And if there's one shining light of this loss, it's that Nick Boyle, Max Williams, those tight ends, they definitely shined a bit. I was very happy to see Max Williams get his first touchdown of his NFL career. So that short ball, there's no problem. Stretching the field, getting those long balls, those yards, Joe's got a problem with it. And I think he was like purposely either overthrowing or underthrowing, depending on the situation, doing that to Kamar Aiken because he's trying to get Kamar Aiken to make a play. You know, Steve Smith Sr., if he was out there, he probably would have been able to catch one or two of those. And Kamar Aiken is not Steve Smith Sr. He's good. Don't get me wrong. He doesn't have the skill set that Steve Smith has. I like Kamar Aiken on this team. I think he's done an all right job, but he's not going to be your number one receiver. He's just not. And if Steve Smith was able to play this game, I feel as if the game wouldn't have been as close. I feel as if we would have been able to make a couple more plays. But Joe's got to be more accurate. I don't know. I wish I could tell you the stat that I heard during the game, but it was like nine different receivers that were out on the field, or nine different receivers to catch the ball from Flacco. So he's thrown it all over the place. He doesn't have a favorite like he used to. I think Joe lacks confidence in this in his receiving core. I think he lacks confidence in the offensive coordinator, like we all do. I think he's feeling it. I think he knows there's a lot of pressure on his shoulders, and he makes boneheaded mistakes. But at the same time, he's got nothing to work with.
Nope, he's got nothing. And I heard some of the callers call in today, and from humor, they humor me a little bit, but someone mentioned, you know, like Trestman and all that, and, you know, look what the Bears did and look what the Bears are doing now that, you know, Jay Cutler's lighting it up and this Matt Forte's out, but Langford's thriving and this guy's being in beast mode and all that. And you look at, but the host of the show fired back and said, but look what he's working with. We're 2-7 with our leading receiver as Kamar Egan. Who the heck is Kamar Egan? I don't even know. No one. I guarantee if you pulled 100 NFL fans, probably 15 of them probably tell you Kamar Egan is not even that. And they're not going to be Ravens fans. They're just going to be NFL fans. And that's what the problem is. It's look who he's working with. Yes, he's got Joe Flacco, who's an all-pro quarterback, Super Bowl winning MVP. But he's got no weapons. He's got great three tight ends. And the reality of it is, as bad as the Pittis situation was, and it sucks, the silver lining in this game is we have solid tight ends who are beasts out there, dude. Mm-hmm. Nick Boyle, I love seeing him trying to leap over defenders like it's nobody's business. It's awesome. Crockett Gilmore is a stud. And Max Williams, how about Max Williams? I saw your tweet during the game. How about taking it to the max and getting his first NFL career touchdown, man? That was great.
That's right. Taking Mad Max down on Fury Road. He looked great this year. There was an article that was on BaltimoreRavens.com saying, you know, it's time now for the rookies to step up. We've waited long enough. It's time for them to step up. And I feel as if, at least with Nick Boyle and Max Williams, they have. Buck Allen's another one I think has definitely stepped up this year. Three rookies that are definitely making a good impression on me. But again, this is a whole team sport, and it kind of sucks they're coming in now when they're having, you know, the Ravens are having the hardest time to get anything done. But it's an odd situation that the Ravens are in, because this is definitely not the team that we all imagined they'd be, personnel wise, even at the beginning of the year. Nope. You know, with losing Terrell Suggs, not seeing Perryman. I mean, this. Do you remember? Let's talk a little bit about Perryman. There's not much to say about him, but he got injured the first day of training camp. John Harbaugh comes out and goes, "Hey, you know, he got hurt. He'll be back tomorrow." Next day, Perryman's not there. Oh, he's going to be back in a week. Oh, we're going to expect him by the first preseason game. Oh, he's going to be back at the end of preseason. He'll definitely play in the first week of the regular season. Oh, we'll expect him back at the end of September. Now he's out indefinitely. I mean, yeah, I'm not trying to put like everything on this young guy, because of course he wouldn't have been perfect this year. He's a rookie. But at the same time, I feel as if losing him definitely hurt the receiving core, because I'm sure they're like, look, Joe, I know we're getting rid of Torrey and he didn't have the greatest year last year, but I know you like to throw him, get the long ball, but we got this young guy. He's going to work great with you. And not to have him there is definitely affecting everything. I mean, we talked about at the beginning of the year, is it okay to miss him? And we were like, yeah, you know, it's all right. But obviously, there's a huge, just like, I mean, it's trying to put together like a car and not using the wheels. You know,
it's a mystery, dude.
Yeah, you got a great car, but you need wheels.
Crew could figure it out.
Oh yeah, it's just odd, and
it is, and it's baffling. You brought up so many good points right there. It's like, you know, they're always making excuses like, oh, he'll be back. No, he won't. Oh, no, he will. No, he won't. What the heck's wrong with him? Like, did he break his leg somewhere? No one knows. Like, what's wrong with him? Like, I would like to know what's wrong. Somebody please find out what's wrong with Breshad Perryman.
You know,
I might lose my mind. Yeah, but someone please tell me what's wrong with Breshad Perryman. It is ridiculous.
Yeah, and you know, this whole team, everybody is just undisciplined. They're making mistakes. And when you have a team like that, and you have guys like Elvis Dumervil and Chris Canty and Brandon Williams and Joe Flacco and Justin Forsett, I mean, these are all known talented guys. Jimmy Smith, Lardarius Webb, Will Hill, guys that have NFL experience, and they're playing this poorly, and they're playing with no gumption or whatever. I got to look to the coaching staff, because I don't think Mark Trestman is getting it done. I don't think the defensive coordinator, you know, Dean Pease, I don't think he's getting it done. But nope. If those guys aren't getting it done, do you look at Harbaugh as well? I brought this up before. Somebody's, I don't know who, but at the end of the season, somebody's leaving town on the coaching staff. And to be honest, it could be any of those three. As much as I love Harbaugh and I love what he brings to this team, I do worry that he's lost it. I do, not mentally, but lost, like, the focus of his team. Trestman, he doesn't know this team. He's not doing the right work on the offense. I mean, it's Joe Flacco MVP of the Super Bowl, and you got him playing this poorly, and I don't know.
Yeah.
The coaching staff is changing one way or another this offseason.
Something's got to give. Something's got to give, man. And I don't know and I want to share something with you as far as, the fan of reactions concerned, because I'm going to leave the name anonymous because I'm that respectful, but I'm just going to show you how fair weather fans we have living among us. You ready for this, man?
All right.
I think I shared it with you during Twitter. I don't know if I shared it with you at all, but if I have, just share with me. If not, hey, all our listeners are going to get a crack at this. But I had an extra pair this week try to not give away, but basically trying to say, hey, who wants to go to the game this weekend? There's an extra pair up for grabs. So I texted a few people, and I got a response back. Get this. I got a response back saying, basically, can't go to game. Let me know if there's another game out available, but try to find some tickets semi-cheap because I don't want to pay a lot because we're not that good this year.
I can
just
believe
let that,
that
sink in for a minute.
Oh, yeah. That's a typical right there, a bandwagon fan.
Oh, that's
fan.
A typical fair weather. Oh, we're not in a playoff hunt, so I don't want to pay $150 a ticket. I want to pay like $9 a ticket to go to O's game.
Right, yeah.
Or maybe free. Can you try to find a free ticket for me?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That says it all. Yeah, no. Your fan card just got taken. No.
Yeah, they're the ones that drive the price up, but you asked me to go to this game, and I straight up told you, like, I'd love to go to. I'm trying to save up for the holidays coming up, but, like, to be like, they're not playing that well, I don't want to support them. Come on. I mean, you're going to watch them on TV. You know you are. You don't act like you're not going to watch them on a Sunday. You're saying they're not doing well. Whatever. You're still going to watch that game.
Yeah, a caller called in this morning. First thing I turned on the radio, and he was like, I've had it with this losing, man. I can't take it no more. I'm not going to watch the rest of the year, man. I'm going to find something else to do on Sundays. I'm like, yeah, you'll be watching on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Shut up.
Like, I mean,
come on, dude. That's like saying, I'm sober, but it's like those, and I said it before when I was drinking. Oh, you get that bad hangover and thrown up. I'm never drinking again. What, you're going to, 2 days later, you're out of happy hour. Shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
You're already, stop fooling yourself.
So I do want to ask you, since you were at the game, tell me a little bit about the flyover that happened before the game, because I saw all these pictures of these giant planes, and I know it was something to do with honoring the veterans and everything in Veterans Day this past week. Can you tell me a little bit more about like what actually happened for the flyover?
Yeah, I actually got a good video right above me. I haven't posted it yet because I got home yesterday, got busy, and then today I've been working all day. But no excuse, but I had pictures and video of them, and the American flag spread out on the field. I have a great picture of that. It's going to be coming on my Facebook feed soon. But the flyover was cool. It was actually old school. Like, it wasn't the fighter jets that we usually see, and they're flying over. It was actually the old school, like, World War II planes. They had, like, the propellers on the front. It was – and they were – I think there was one big one and three little ones, and it was funny because we seen them all on the horizon. I think they were coming early, and they had to circle the stadium because they were coming early, and then you seen them from afar, and then they let out their jet stream over the stadium. But it was great, and I even tweeted out, like, I'm going to get more emotional during the anthem because of that, and they actually ramped it up. I mean, they had the anti-tank guns outside of M&T Bank. They had some Army trucks out there. They had troops. I said hi to some Marines standing out front. We're talking to them this weekend, and especially about the events that happened this past week where were tragic. And I'm definitely going to wrap up the show with that as well. I wanted to start the show with that, but I hate to say that because I know it was such a tragedy in this world this week. But I think I was just more fired up over talking about the refs and the situation. I blindsided. So I do apologize for that because I wanted to start the show with that. And a moment's silence, but we'll end the show with that appropriately, Brandon. And it was cool because they came out, and I got a picture of it off the Ravens site, and I got a picture of it at the stadium. But they came out running with the French flag and the American flag.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That was touching.
We saw that all over the NFL, and I really love that. Yep. And there's a really cool video over in Philadelphia where they hooked up a GoPro to a bald eagle, and you saw the bald eagle flying over the stadium and then going down into the field with the camera on his back. So,
oh, that's great. The Ravens have done that.
Yeah, that was a very cool video, but very touching stuff over the weekend, not just the NFL, but, I mean, just the world, seeing how the world comes together against these senseless terrorist acts. I mean,
yep.
It's becoming far too common in this world that I think, like, every single, how many shows have we done where we've started with like a that we started with like a moment of silence or a remembrance something. And it's really hard to continually go through all that.
And the NFL as a whole, because I was at the game and they had, and I hope they keep this up. I hope it's not just for this weekend because it happened, but they had patrols beefed up. They had, bomb squad dogs with state troopers wearing flank vests, and they had the bomb sniffing dogs all around the stadium, and there was a lot of trooper presence. There was a lot more law enforcement and military presence than usual, so it definitely made me feel safe as a fan and walking around the stadium. I mean, it was a great day in Baltimore. It was a nice sunny day. We had fun tailgating. A friend of mine came up. It was one of his first games in a long time, so and I met up with two of my great friends, so it was definitely a great time for me as a fan and to be down there. So I felt safe. Hope they keep it up. And you know how I wear the Ray Lewis helmet in, right?
Right.
Of all the games. Not that it's going to make me change, but, like, no one really gives me any lip about, like, bringing the helmet in because it is what it is. But, like, now the security checkpoints are always questioning things. And I went to another gate because I was at another portion of the stadium, so I went on the other side I usually go in. So, but like more weeks than not, I'd always get questions about, like, the 1 week the guy was like wanting to check on the list to make sure I can bring it in. I knew he was doing his job. I didn't say a word. I didn't get mad or nothing. You know, I was mild mannered. And I was just like, all right, you know, it's not going to be on the list because I know that I have the security list with me at all times. Just, you know, because, like, I bring the helmet and my gear and I'm like, I can take this in, like, it's legit. So the one guy was like, I went through the security checkpoint, hand on my helmet to walk through, like, the airport security, and the one's like, hey, can he take that in? The grown girl didn't know, so she's like, go ask him. So, like, the guy comes in another colored uniform, and he walks over and goes, oh, it's a football helmet? Oh, yeah, he's fine. So, but it makes me question, like, do I really want to take that in with me from now on? Because it's like, I just don't want to stir up trouble or cause these questions, and it sucks. Like, it's making me question my gear and being a fan. Like, do I even want to hassle with trying to bring it? Because if they did deny me, dude, I was going to be stuck because I didn't drive to the game, right, and I didn't have any car keys. And I'm like, there's nowhere I could have put it. I'm like, I paid over $300 for the helmet. I'm not going to, you know, not take it in and not get in the game. I'm like, what was I going to do? So it's kind of like it's making me question the way I do things, and it sucks.
Yeah, and I mean that's an appropriate response on your part and on the NFL and security's part, because I mean two of the suicide bombings that happened in France happened outside of a soccer football stadium. So right. I mean, of course they're going to beef up security this weekend, and they're gonna think about how that impacts us. No matter what, like. We're getting off topic here of the Ravens, but, like, if you remember when The Dark Knight Rises came out and there was the tragedy in Aurora, Colorado, I mean, that hit home big time for me because I love film, I love movies, I love the theaters, and I haven't been to that many movies in the theater, especially.
And I know you go to the center, like, all the time.
Yeah, you know, I love going there, but
we're gonna see Creed next weekend, though. By the way, seeing that.
I got to see Creed. I mean, I'm a huge Rocky fan. I have to see that movie.
I'm a huge fighting and boxing fan, so any of those movies I get pumped up for anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, it's
speaking.
Go ahead.
No, finish your point.
Everything changes after something like this happens, and ever since the Aurora thing happened, it has been harder for me to enjoy going to a movie theater because, like, I saw Godzilla a couple years ago, I guess it was last summer or the summer before, and I really couldn't enjoy the movie, number one, because the movie sucked, but also because there was a fight that broke out in a couple of rows behind me. So of course, like when people started getting loud and everything, I jumped up because it freaked me out. Cause I was like, all right, where's the closest exit? How do I get out of here? Cause I didn't know what was going on. You know, a place I used to work, they had a potential shooter, threat at one point, and I had to barricade a couple doors. So, I mean, we've changed the way that we've lived our lives. It's harder now, but we need to still enjoy stuff like football and movies, and we have to kind of push ourselves to go out and do those things. But at the same time, being respectful of the security and the measures they have to go to keep us safe, it's hard. But when you live in a country like we do, or in a lot of free places in the world where people are allowed mm-hmm. to gather in areas like that and root for teams and enjoy, you know, the things that aren't work in life, it becomes an easy target for people that want to hurt everybody. So it sucks that we have to kind of go through that and we have to live that, but it's the world we live in now, and it's just something that we have to kind of grow to expect those longer lines of security, because
right.
once you're inside and you know security has done their job, you can enjoy yourself and you can enjoy what you're watching on the field, even if it is the Ravens losing, but
or the refs screwing,
right?
It sounds like a holiday song. Ravens losing, refs screwing. Yeah,
that sounds Whatever. Like a different kind of song. I don't know if it's a holiday song. The refs are screwing, but
yeah, they are screwing. All right.
You know, it's a crazy world that we live in now, and it sucks that you have to do that kind of stuff. But like you said, you do have to think about that kind of stuff.
You do
have to be respectful of what security tells you, because they're doing it. They're not doing it to just make the lines longer. They're doing it because, you know, we gotta stay safe. And if you see
and I like that. Yeah. You gotta keep us safe and. It's just the reality check that it comes to, and I couldn't agree with you more of that. And it's just, you're right. You got to be mindful of like the NFL events to go to, and it doesn't make me question my trip, but it's like, I wonder what protocols are going to have for my trip to Miami in 2 weeks. Cause it's sure. like, we got to fly twice. We got to go check in the stadium, and it sucks. You can't just, you gotta be on alert and then head on a swivel. You can't just relax no more. And it sucks.
Yeah. But I mean, the more like vigilant you can be, the little safer that we can be. So right. I think the world's kind of on edge right now, and that always happens after a big tragedy like we saw in Paris. And we kind of just learn to live a new way after this happens, but as just citizens of the world, you figure it out, you adapt to it, and you can learn from what happened, and it seems as if, you know, the French are doing what they can to get the people that did this, and they're working hard to make sure this ISIS stuff is stopped. And I think the U.S. is going to work with them as well. But, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody in France. I know there's been such an outpour of love and sorrow too from the NFL, from the U.S., just citizens from all over the world, from everybody. Saturday Night Live opened up with such a usually a funny skit, but this time it was just sending our sympathies and everything to France. So, you know, it was just a senseless act over in France this past weekend, and
right.
I hope we never have to see it again, but you know,
I really hope we don't have to see it again, and I just hope it all stops. And but on a lighter note, man, speaking of, because we're talking about Apollo Creed and fighting, I wanted to bring this up on the show because this was unprecedented, but how about, and I hope you saw this, did you see the fight on Saturday night?
I didn't get to see the fight on Saturday night. I'm ticked off at some friends here because we were supposed to go to Hooters, and we were supposed to have a good time, and we were supposed to see a fight, and we were supposed to go see some pretty girls at Hooters. But then all of these people, I'm the only single one, so all of them are couples or whatever. And they're like, hey, we're just going to get the fight at our house, and it's a little far away, but we're going to get it here, and you can come over if you want. I don't want to come over to your house to watch the fight. I want to go out. I want to be around people.
You should have texted me. I was out.
See, I didn't know that. I should have. But yeah, so I didn't get any Hooters, and I didn't get any fight, and I got to watch the YouTube clip of the knockout.
Afterwards. Well, it was a knockout, wasn't it? Is that shocking or what?
Man, poor Ronda Rousey. Oh,
she
my
got
goodness.
For anybody who didn't see it, I don't know how you didn't see it yet, but she basically got what she usually does to everybody else, and Holly had no part of getting on the ground. She's a brawler, bro. See, Doc, and the reason why I wanted to bring this up, too, is did you see our boy Andre's video? Please
yes.
tell me you did.
Yes, our buddy.
Dude, I laughed so hard I was crying on my lunch break today. I was like, he did not. And it was even funnier than ever.
Our buddy Andre, if you guys remember during the
he
bye
did
week,
it again.
Yeah, he's doing these Ray Lewis impersonations for everything going on. He did one for Ronda Rousey, kind of you know, doing a little promo for her. And I don't know if you saw it, Ed Reed posted it on Twitter and was like, "Hey, can anybody help me out and find this guy? It's awesome."
Yeah, Ed Reed, everybody's loving it, and I'm sure Ray will see it anytime soon, I'm sure, because the last time he put a video up, they were ragging him on Money in a Countdown. I'm sure it happened tonight if nobody's really seen it yet, but I thought this one was way better than his original stuff, and even the one he did for the show, I think this was pretty good. And at the end, I liked it. He was like, "Give me your number so I can take you out to dinner afterwards." I was like, "Get out of here, bro." But just like his demeanor and like his beard. I mean, I know that's his legit beard, but he looks just like him, dude. Like
he does.
He does. It's what's scary, and in the way he talks, and that he looks. I was like, that looks like Ray Lewis, like the younger version. It's so scary.
He's got the pauses down and everything. I mean, Ray.
You know, and then his. I can't get over it. This guy. I wish I can hug the dude. He's so good.
Yeah, we'll post it on our Facebook and our Twitter account as well, so you guys can go check it out. But our buddy Andre from a couple weeks ago, still doing some Ray Lewis videos, and we'll post that for you guys to check out. It's really well done.
He should start like a weekly series of like a recap of like the team like being like 2-7, like doing like a pep talk or something, because I think that would be epic if he could incorporate that. We need to get hold of his dude, even if it's like for our show for a week. Or, I mean, I know, like, you know, you talked to him on the side, but if there's any way we can get him for, like, a weekly thing for the show, at least, like I said, hey, he gets free endorsement out of it. If we can make that work, that would be special. If he can do something for the call for the remainder of the year, that's just ridiculous.
That would be fun. Hopefully, well, try to
do your resources. I know you got some rank. You pulled him for the last one. See what you can do, man.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do. All right. So we got a little off of a tangent, but did we cover everything for this last Ravens game?
We covered it to the max, the best we can. We'll definitely break it down a lot more and go into the Purple Friday preview on a game plan on how we can actually beat the refs and the other team and get win number 3. We'll definitely break that down.
Hopefully that happens, but we shall see. If you want to continue the conversation, if you want to talk to Josh or I, we are both available on Twitter. Make sure you follow us over there. You can follow me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Brandon, they can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, very cool. Go over to Facebook, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new episode comes out, you will be the first to know. And we always post funny videos, photos, articles you guys can check out. Our buddy Andre will post his video on our Facebook page as well. Go over to facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like Brando Cash Entertainment. Whenever a new episode of The Call or What the Puck. Hey, you bandwagoners out there, you want to start watching hockey? Watch the Washington Capitals. I got a podcast for you. What the Puck. You can learn the basics of hockey if you've already given up on the Ravens. I won't judge
or
you.
Or the NFL.
I won't judge you. You know, I like both teams equally. You can listen to both podcasts.
They got hitting and the wrist don't get involved as much as I've seen in there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're pulling away Ovi's.
I know, or they keep taking away Ovi's goals. That's all I keep seeing.
That's what they keep doing. But hey, you know what? Whatever. You guys want to listen to What the Puck, do that as well. Go over to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Now, guys, you guys listen, you stream, you download this show for free. It's available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. Now,
well, didn't you get Google Play or something? What happened there?
They're still working out Google Play. We have been accepted on the Google Play Store, but they have not made podcasts available yet.
Gotcha, because I was going to say, I know for Android users, I get a lot of messages on that.
Well, yeah, if you're an Android user, Stitcher, TuneIn, they will work as well. But Google Play is slowly introducing podcasts. So we will be a part of that first wave, thankfully. But they haven't released anything yet. But anyway, you guys listen, you stream, you download, you listen to us, you help us out. This is what you do, okay? The holidays are coming up. You guys don't even have to buy us a gift. All you got to do is spread the word about The Call. You know, even though the Ravens are losing a lot of games, you're still listening to us. You're still having fun with the Ravens. You're still enjoying watching the games, even though they're not the outcome you like. But let people know. Be proud of that, man. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Anywhere you are social on the web, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the call this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thanks a lot for all you do. Thank you very much. And to our faithful podcast listeners out there, it's been rough, man. I know, stick with it. 2-7, it just sucks. And again, you know, the refs always are there. Our bad plays always there. Injuries are there. It's been a trial and tribulation season. It's almost over, but we're not wishing it to be over because we still got games to play, a few far between. The seasons are short and the off seasons are long, and we know how it is around here, wishing the Raven football be back in September every year. And again, you know, it. Apart from it all, we still love our team. We still root them hard. We got the Rams coming up. We're definitely going to break down things on the Purple Friday preview. It's going to be a fun game to watch to see if we can get win number 3. We're going to break it down for the course. With that, this week, fly high, Ravens into the weekend.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.